Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Open them up to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. We covered the first 8 verses last week, where Daniel and 3 of his friends were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, taken back to Babylon. They were selected because they were in the upper category, so to speak, of intelligence and personality and looks, all the things that the Babylonians were looking for, that they thought would be good characteristics of people to stand in the king's court. And they were taken back, and they were indoctrinated, and still in the process in chapter 1, but they were being indoctrinated in the customs and ways of Babylon. One of the things that that was included in that was their diet. The king prescribed that they would eat meat from his table and drink the same wine that he did. And we talked about their names and what they meant, and how even just the mention of their Hebrew names would be an encouragement to these 4 young men. They were all probably teenagers at the time, but just the mention of their names, the names that their parents gave them, their Jewish names, would be an encouragement to them as they were in this far place away from home, trying to be indoctrinated into a heathen culture. And again, the king had prescribed that they would eat his meat and they would drink his wine. And we finished in verse 8, where the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the meat and the wine. You know, the Jews had strict dietary laws, and there were meats that were prohibited from them to eat. The wine, it was probably alcoholic wine, and so they didn't drink that. And so Daniel asked the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now look at verse 9. That's where we're going to start tonight. And there's a couple things, and again, this is a very familiar story, but there's 3 truths that I want to point out to you tonight in the rest of it, the rest of chapter 1, if we can get to it. 3 truths about what God did for Daniel in that day. And I'll remind you tonight that God hadn't changed. He'll do the same for us today. So verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. God did that. Now, Daniel was trying to do right. And the things I'm going to say tonight, the truths I want to share tonight, are promises or blessings that God will send to people that are trying to do right. Daniel was trying to do right. He was trying to be true to his heritage, to the training that his mom and dad had given him about what to eat and what not to eat and what to drink and what not to drink. And he made this request. Now, the eunuch had no reason to grant Daniel's request. We're going to see in the next verse why he was afraid to do it. But, I mean, you know, he was in charge of all these young men. To make an exception would you know, mess things up, because he would have to have stuff for them to eat that wasn't on their diet. But I want you to notice what God did. God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. God softened that man's heart and gave him a special feeling for Daniel. Now, God will do the same thing for us. God, if we're trying to do right, God will influence people that we come in contact with to help us accomplish what we're trying to do and what he wants us to do. That's right. I mean, it could be a person in your workplace. If you're trying to stand for God, God may tender that person's heart to allow you to do that. It may be in the neighborhood. It may be for our kids that are still, our grandkids that are still in school. It may be in the schoolroom. If we stand for God, if we stand for right, if we try to do what God tells us to do, God still has the power to cause the other people around us to have, like just like this verse says, favor and tender love. And now notice verse 10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. The eunuch said to Daniel, now I understand what you're asking me to do. You're asking me to, you know, give you a different diet than the king has prescribed. I mean, you won't be in trouble. I will. Your neck's not on the line. My neck will be on the line. Because if I give you what you want to eat and you end up looking worse than everybody else, and the king starts asking questions, well, how come these guys don't look as good as the rest of them? You know, the truth's going to come out that I did something I was not supposed to do. And so, again, he had no reason to grant Daniel's request. In fact, it was probably putting his life in danger, because if they had turned out worse than the others, the king, these were men or young men that were being groomed to stand before the king, to be his counselors, to carry out his decrees. And if this guy messed up four of them, so to speak, his neck would be the one on the line. So then verse 11, then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that's their Hebrew names. Daniel said, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Pulse is a word for vegetables. And so Daniel said, hey, I understand if you grant this request and it turns out bad that, they won't come after us, they'll come after you. But what about a test? Just give us 10 days. Just don't make us eat the meat. Don't make us drink the wine. Let us eat the vegetables. Just give us water to drink. And then after 10 days, look at us and compare us to everybody else and then make a decision. And I don't know if Daniel said it, but I'm sure he said it to make his case. We'll abide by your decision. If you tell us that we have to eat it, we'll eat it. But just give us a chance. Give us pulse or vegetables and water for 10 days. Take a look at us and see what happens. He said in verse 13, then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved or tested them 10 days. So he agreed to the test. Okay, you want 10 days? I'll give you 10 days. Nothing's going to be hurt in 10 days. If you're looking worse than the rest of them, you'll eat the same thing that everybody else is eating, but I'll give you the 10 days. Look at what happened. Again, you know the story. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Now, I want to go back to something I said Sunday night. When we talked about why people fall to the devil. One of the things I said that when our parents or others, like God, put barriers up around us, sometimes we think, well, they're just doing that because they don't want us to have any fun. They're not really concerned about how we feel about anything. They just want, to just put those barriers up to, show they're in charge and show they're in control. And I mentioned Sunday night that's not true. That authorities in our life put barriers around us for our own good. And when we step outside of those barriers, we're not only opening ourselves up to attacks of Satan, but we're actually doing ourselves harm. Here's an example of that. God said, I don't want you to eat this meat. I don't want you to drink this wine. And God prescribed dietary laws for his people. God wasn't doing that just to be mean. He wasn't doing that to withhold something good for his people. He was doing it because it was healthy for them. I mean, here's a prime example of that. The meat that God prohibited, the wine that he prohibited for his people would have been harmful to their bodies. And so after this test, they look better than all the rest of them. And so notice verse 16, then Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. They didn't have to eat the meat. They didn't have to drink the wine. They were able to eat the vegetables. They were able to drink the water. Now look at verse 17. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Not only did God bless them physically by making their bodies look better than everybody else, he also blessed them mentally. Now, again, He just didn't open their heads and pour everything in. Notice what it says. Gave them knowledge and skill in all learning. They still had to study. They still had to work. But as they stood for God and did right, and then applied themselves to what the Babylonians wanted them to learn. You say, preacher, do you think they learned what the Babylonians wanted them to learn? Yes, I do. I think they were good students. I think they learned about the Babylonian culture. I think they learned the Babylonian language that was going to be needed as they went into the future to not only serve the Babylonian king, but to serve their God. And so they applied themselves, and God gave them a special ability to learn and then to use that learning to make wise decisions. To make, and in Daniel's case, God gave him an understanding in all visions and dreams. Again, God will bless people that are trying to do right, that apply themselves to the task that God... Look, it was God's will that they be there. It was. You say, well, they were taken captive. They were taken away from their families. They were taken away from their homes. They were taken... I mean, and why? Because God was punishing his people. They had turned away from him. He had warned them. He had warned them a long time through the prophets that punishment was coming. And the fact that Daniel and his three friends were in Babylon was God's will for them at that time. He was going to use them in that Babylonian court. Hey, I don't know about you, but as I read the book of Daniel, I think there's a chance, a very good chance, that we'll see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. I think he met God. I mean... And again, we'll talk about it when we get over to chapter 4, how God, you know, drove him out to live with the animals, and as Daniel told him, interpreted his dream. And in chapter 2, Daniel's going to interpret another dream. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar said to Daniel, there's no God like your God. Now, I don't know if he came to a complete understanding, and I can't stand here and for sure tell you you're going to be in heaven, but I think there's a chance. Because Daniel was there doing what he was supposed to do, standing for God, and God gave him a special ability to learn, a special wisdom, a special ability to interpret dreams. Now, look at verse 18. And at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all of his realm. Now just stop and think about that for a minute. You know, God uses some pretty inclusive descriptions in that verse. The king called them in. I mean, their training was over. Their indoctrination was over. Their brainwashing was over. The king called them in himself to interrogate them, to question them, to see how they had absorbed the Babylonian culture. Again, he was looking for young men to stand before him, to be his advisors, to carry out his decrees. And again, we only read about the four, but he questioned everybody. He questioned a whole lot of them that were in this training program. And as he questioned these four men, and again, there must have been some objective measure for the Bible to say they were 10 times better. I don't think God uses numbers like that without there being something there that could measure and quantify how much better they were. So I don't know if he gave them tests, they were written or oral, but at the end of their training, as they were questioned by the king, they were 10 times better than anybody else. But it doesn't stop there. It says, 10 times better than not only the people they were trained with, but than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all of his realm. In other words, not just the new guys on the block, but the people that had been there for years and years and years. I mean, the ones that had stood before the king for a while, the one that had been his advisors for a while. Here were four young men taken from their homes, indoctrinated, and the king says, there's nobody like this. They are better than anybody I got. Isn't God good? Isn't he good? I mean, again, he put them there. He helped them prepare. He helped, and again, I believe it all gets back to what we read in verse 8 last week. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And God said, I'm going to reward that. I'm going to help them. I'm going to give them favor with this guy so they don't have to eat. And they're going to pass the test. And I'm going to help them learn as they study. And I'm going to give them wisdom and special skills. And when they stand before the king's going to say, man, I got nobody like this. This is good. This is good. Look at the last verse. And Daniel continued even until the first year of King Cyrus. I mean, he not only served Nebuchadnezzar, but he served those that came after him, and then he served the one, Cyrus, the one that overthrew Babylon. And so, again, God used him in a mighty way, but it all goes back to purposing in our heart that we will not defile ourselves. And we need to make that same resolution. We live in a world that entices us to defile ourselves, to get caught up in the things of the world. But standing for God always pays dividends. It may not seem like it at the time. I'm sure when Daniel and these his three friends asked the eunuch, I'm sure they stood out from the rest of the group. But it didn't matter. They were doing right. They were standing for God. And God blessed them. And he'll do the same thing for us today. That's purpose in our heart, not to defile ourselves with the things of the world. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here tonight. The men will be praying. The ladies will be praying.